Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the New Energy Experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. Hello, and welcome to the episode. Today, we're looking at the topic of energy insights. This is quite a broad term that some of you might know by other terminologies such as demand disaggregation or even non-intrusive load monitoring, a very catchy term. It's a interesting topic and a fantastic topic for data scientists because smart meters and connected devices are throwing up huge amounts of data that can be analysed to see when fridges are coming on and off and lots more. But today, we'll be focusing on the value and the commercial aspect of energy insights. Energy retailers are working hard to look at how they can take energy insights forward, how they can offer them to customers, and importantly, where the value is for customers and where the value is for energy retailers. So I've got three fantastic guests here today to help me pick apart this topic and explore those values. So, first of all, Stephen Galsworthy, CDO of QB, part of Eneco. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, nice to speak to you, John.
Stephen, can you give us a quick bit of background on what you do at QB and your work around energy insights in a nutshell?
Certainly. Well, the whole basis of QB is we're focusing where we want to make a world where life without wasting natural resources is easy for, particularly in the residential sector. So what we do at QB, we partner with a number of large utilities, water companies, insurance providers, and banks, and provide a number of technology solutions to help them engage with their end customers and to offer additional services. We're most well known for offering a smart thermostat that is white labeled as a Tone branded with Eneco in the Netherlands and Repsol in Spain, as well as called Box.
Some of the listeners will remember a colleague of yours speaking on the very first episode of Talking New Energy.
Exactly. So I'm proud to say that this is QB's second appearance on this podcast, and we're very, very honored to be returning.
But you're speaking less about the smart thermostat and product side and more around how QB is working with energy insights.
Yeah, so having started from a basis of having our smart thermostat, of which there's around 400,000 hardware devices installed across Europe, we've really taken on like how can we take that data to offer insights and services derived from that that can be beneficial for our end users and our partners.
Great. Thanks, Stephen. Well, we'll come back to you shortly. My second guest is Gilles Corby. Gilles worked at Centrica or has worked at Centrica for many years, where he was product manager in the My Energy team. Gilles, hello.
Good afternoon.
Can you tell us briefly what the My Energy team or My Energy product was that you worked on and what it did for Centrica and British Gas?
Right. So My Energy was a couple of applications. One was a web app, another one was a mobile app. And it had two chapters, one which that was using the normal smart metering and general metering data that provided insights. And there was also, obviously, another product called My Energy Live that uses the 10-second data from smart meters in the UK that are channeled through the in-home display. These products have been developed over a period of 4 years, and I was part of that team.
And actively being used by British Gas customers today?
Yes, indeed. Indeed, they are. The web app was addressing something like 3.5 million BG customers, residential customers. So that was quite significant.
Okay, thanks, Jill. And last but not least, my colleague here at Delta EE, David Trevethick. Hello, David.
Hello, John.
David, you manage our energy insights research here at Delta EE. Can you, for our listeners, just paint a very brief picture of the landscape across Europe. So is this something that, or where would you put it in terms of being embryonic through to being mainstream in terms of energy retailers offering energy insights to their customers?
Yes, thanks, John. Yes, the market now is beyond embryonic. It is becoming mainstream. There are now millions of users of this, and most sort of larger energy suppliers, and certainly a lot of the smaller ones now are starting to offer advanced energy insight solutions.
Okay, so it's really moving, as you say, from embryonic starting into more of a mainstream offering. What about coming back to my introduction, the question on value? So, how is Energy Insights delivering value for customers? How's it delivering value for energy retailers? How should we think about the different dimensions of value?
Yeah, it's definitely worth thinking about the customer when you talk about the residential customer, the end user here, and the value that they would derive from this. And for them, it's about shining a light really on their energy consumption and getting greater transparency into that and their bills, and to empower them then to, for instance, reduce their energy bill. So if that's for them, is perhaps a the larger focus there. For an energy retailer, metrics around customer engagement might well be important, as high satisfaction or high advocacy of your brand can lead to future value for the company. But there are sort of value streams right now that can be unlocked by energy retailers.
So, how well understood are those value streams? And well, what are they? How well understood are they? And I'll share a conversation, I won't say with who, with the head of data at one big energy retailer that I had. And they were nervous about committing to this area, not because they thought they shouldn't, but in terms of the business case, the value or the potential benefits to the energy retailer were not certain. They were not clear. And that made it difficult for them to make a big commitment. So, how would you explain to them the sources of value, or how mature or well understood you think those values are?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, every energy retailer or other energy company will have their own perspective on this. But the sort of buckets of value that could be looked at are the cost to serve, particularly for the bigger energy retailers, by reducing the number of inbound calls into their call centers, for instance, will have a value for them. Also, retention, getting customers to actually have increased their loyalty and retention over a period of time will obviously have a financial value to them as well. And there is perhaps more uncertainty about sort of value-add products, whereby insights can be a foundational component of some sort of future product. So those are the sort of things that energy retailers might look at. That's not all the value streams. Some people actually charging a premium, for instance, for a service. Or if you're a policymaker, you might be looking at engagement and energy saving metrics, for instance. But those are the key ones, I think, for energy retailers.
Okay, so cost to serve, retention, and then ability or better being able to sell added value services and products and tailor those to customers.
Yeah.
Gilles, let's come back to you now. So, how do you think about those three buckets of value that David's described from your time in this industry and working with a big energy retailer? Which ones of those were the most were front of mind?
Well, it was all of the above. I think at the beginning, the challenge that British Gas had was a matter of retention of customers, and they saw the possibility, the opportunity in Energy Insights in creating a higher level of transparency and increasing trust, and the way that they would measure that they were actually moving the needle in the right direction was measuring the Net Promoter Score. And for BG customers who were using the Energy Insights product, the delta in NPS was 30 points, between 20 and 30 points. So that was quite significant. It worked out quite well. But then the issue is to know what price they're going to put on an NPS point.
Gilles, just for our readers that are unfamiliar with Net Promoter Score, how significant is 20 to 30 points, or can you put that into a wider context?
You know, practically, when the detractors and the recommenders were in the case of British Gas and the general customers, you would have a positive level of recommendation with people who used, well, customers who used British Gas, My Energy. So it's it does increase the possibility of gaining customers because they're going to recommend you to other people, and that helps you to stem the churn, because they in the UK context there's a high level of churn. Well, true. Yeah. And you can't keep your customers, so you need to be able to acquire customers. So, you know, it's one way of making sure that you're going to keep your customer numbers at a level that allows you to stay alive. And I think also the cost to serve was then became more important, because we started having some interrogations about the actual value of an NPS point. I think originally the business case was predicated on value that was put on an NPS point. Then the focus changed and looked more towards the cost to serve, reducing the inbound calls, and there were clear indications that the calls were reduced. And there's also an opportunity, which is that the people who are actually normally taking inbound calls can actually go into sales calls, because British Gas doesn't only sell energy, they sell insurance, they sell boiler services, they say boilers and hypothermostat, for instance. So that was also a revenue opportunity in a certain way.
So, Gilles, would you say then in your time there, it was a clear case that there were benefits around reducing cost to serve and NPS, that wasn't argued about by anyone? There was consensus that Energy Insights did deliver these two values.
There was it was clear that we were generating value. Mm-hmm. What had to be managed is the amount of cost that you put on the other side. Yeah. Because to run that product, it does cost money. You need to have developers, you need to maintain, you need to bring new features, because we could see that when the features remained stable, the interest was going down and the NPS was going down. So you want to make sure that you bring in new features, and that costs money. Clearly, so you had to have this business case, and you know it still is working. So I haven't been close enough to the business case recently to give any information on that. But yeah, the business case.
That balance of the cost to both launch and maintain and grow the Energy Insights product against those benefits that you described.
Absolutely, yeah.
Stephen, how does this chime with your experience and, I guess, experience of QB working directly with your owner, Eneco, your parent company, and then with other energy retailers in terms of the value and what David described and Jules' experience at British Gas?
Yeah, it's really interesting to compare, because at QB we've got a lot of experience of working with many utilities across different European countries. We've come into this mostly from originally from a hardware perspective, but we've been offering an energy insights display that also happens to function as a smart thermostat. So you're having the two capabilities combined together. I think really the focus initially there was on changing the interaction from maybe a once per year interaction with your utility, where you're receiving a bill and it's often quite a negative reaction, into a daily or a weekly touch point that is a lot more positive. So getting some insight into how you've used electricity or being able to control your heating. Over time, we've moved into...
What about the value you can put on that? Because I get that, and I get that in a new energy world, energy retailers are going to need to transform their once a year negative bill paying type relationship into a much more positive weekly daily touch point. But how have you heard your energy retailer partners talking about the value of that, or as Gilles said, the cost of delivering those types of insights against the value of those daily or weekly positive touch points?
Initially with our smart thermostat product, we've really been targeting churn, NPS, and really seeing a huge uptake in that NPS scores across our customers. So, for example, a typical utility across Europe is having quite a strongly negative NPS score. But if you can, as Jules said, boost that by 30 points or more, then that's can really turn around its ability to interact with its customers. As we moved a little bit more into offering energy insights without hardware in the home, so for example, since the end of last year, we've been powering the energy insight services within the Eneco app within the Netherlands. So that includes a bill breakdown just based on our smart meter data, as well as triggers and tips to save energy. We're seeing that you can engage customers in a different way, and it's often getting that engagement that is key to then unlocking further services down the line. What we've found is that many utilities across Europe are at very different stages in their maturity. Some utilities are just starting to get the email contact details of their end customers. Others have been operating with apps for a number of years already. So there's quite a varied landscape out there.
Yeah,
I think it all depends on the competitive landscape, also depending on the market.
Exactly. I think the countries where we've been active is QB in the Netherlands and Belgium. There's a very competitive market, similar as you see in the UK. Other countries, Germany, for example, there's much less competition in a historical sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
David, how does that fit with the discussions you have with your energy retailers across Europe in that sort of spectrum of those that are just beginning? You know, you said at the beginning this is not embryonic, but the level of confidence that energy retailers have in the business case, would you say that confidence is there, or it's still being learned or being established, or is wavering a bit?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one. I think people are coming from slightly different angles, and I don't think there's that much clarity on the hard business metrics. I think some companies that are experiencing that aren't necessarily wanting to share that too widely. And those people are perhaps struggling to unpick some of these things. And it's some of these metrics are quite difficult to unpick. So if we look at retention, for instance, it's not always easy. As the people who are using Energy Insights are your energy engaged customers. And your energy engaged customers are more likely to switch suppliers anyway because they're engaged in the market. Mm-hmm. So our research, for instance, our European customer research, has identified some of this stuff and validated a few of our thoughts on this. But actually, has found that yes, they are more likely to switch suppliers, but they're also more likely to stay compared to what the situation would have been without any Energy Insights. Mm. Solutions and services there. So it does provide a retention benefit, for instance.
But you've really got to then segment the customer base, understand the value that's delivered to different types of customers. There's quite a lot of learning there from the sound of it.
I think you're right. Yeah, you've got to have the systems and processes in place to be able to get those learnings.
Yeah.
And you also need to bear in mind that the utility world leaves at a certain pace, and Energy Insights comes from an internet world where the pace is much faster. The saying is that utility years is 7 man years, whereas a man year is 7 internet years. So you can see the difference in pace. And I think that there's an issue where utilities don't move fast enough for the development of the and the renewal of the features for this type of services with Energy Insights that usually come over a mobile app or a web app.
So that's a really interesting point, Gilles. I guess you and Stephen you both live in the tech or digital world, that fast-moving world, but you're both worked for or with traditional energy retailers. So how was that conflict of those different paces, those different ways of working between a traditional energy retailer and yourselves in more tech roles?
I think the reason that it happened is that BG was really trying hard to and did succeed in breaking new ground, and typically when you talk in the to other players in the industry, BG is seen as an innovator. But I think that for Steve, the objective was is also to sell the solution to other utilities, which is not so much the case for British Gas. And obviously you're in front of organizations that are slow to move. And also you need to bear in mind that you need to talk to people who have a joined up approach to customer data and metering data. Even BG there in some way failed. Just to give you an example, the customer number for a BG customer for the energy retail is not the same customer number. If Rudy is a BG customer, it's not the same customer number for a Hive customer. So yeah. If you want to do upsell, cross-sell activity, you're going to struggle because you can't marry the two data sets.
Simply the structure of those databases, the customer had a different ID for each for Hive and the energy retailers. So yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that we see with the partners that we work with. Because utilities are also expanding their operations. Maybe they're, as British Gas has in the UK, an installer network or a smart thermostat that can be added on. And one thing that we've really added with Cubi and spent a lot of time is bringing that perspective from the tech world. As you were saying, that the pace of change is quicker, but the way of working is very different. It's a lot. You have to do things in small iterative experiments rather than multi-year roadmap planning. What we find is your traditional utility is very good at marketing a product and billing for it, but actually developing services on top of that and developing engagement insights. When it gets down to working with hardware, then there's a lot of speciality expertise that's required to operate a product like that. So that's something that we've really been able to offer to all of our utility partners.
And I guess that's utilities have a choice. Some are developing this in-house, some are buying in expertise, some are partnering or buying as a service type expertise. So there'll be pros and cons of doing this in-house and partnering.
BG has done both. So BG first worked with AlertMe, which is how I got into the story, because I was working for AlertMe, and then decided to develop a new platform in-house. Hmm. So for the disaggregation part of it, and then the platform that was built around the disaggregation engine was different as well.
And as you mentioned earlier, John, Cubi is now a fully owned subsidiary of the Eneco Group. So we started off working as partners, but then there was over time there's become even a stronger relationship there.
I'd like to move on to the third bucket of value that David introduced. So we've talked about cost to serve and retention and Net Promoter Score being part of that. The third bucket was helping to sell added value products and services. And David, I guess the premise of this is that through Energy Insights, if you know your customer really, really well, then you're better able to decide what products and services to sell to the customer, to develop tailored offerings, personalized offerings. Is that the idea of it?
I think that's it. I think that's definitely it. But I think it's one of the harder ones to judge and judge your progress and see where you're at. I think some of the value buckets we talked about before are the ones you start looking at, and then perhaps for more advanced companies, then you're starting to look at some other ways of extracting value.
Gilles and Stephen, any views yourself on that third bucket of value-added products and services and how Energy Insights can help to upsell those to customers?
Yeah, I think this is really where the big value is. We see utilities are shifting away from just selling commodity into wanting to offer a huge number of energy-related services beyond that, or even moving into the insurance area, we tend to see it in a way that you want to get some engagement with a customer, and insight is a way of getting that engagement and giving that tailored advice before you can then move on to sort of the realization phase of maybe giving someone insight, and then they want to install a solar panel on the home. And then once the solar panel is there, maybe you can offer some monitoring or maintenance services so you can detect when there's an issue with those solar panels. So we see those steps as really being quite key. And I think utilities across Europe are really at the beginning phases of really exploring how to add that value together. And
what's a big challenge, do you think, Stephen, with that? You know, we're at the beginning of it, there's a lot to do. What are the, would you say, are the really big steps that need to be taken to start succeeding with that?
I think it's a very different mindset that needs to be in place within the utility to be able to offer services in that way. Mm. What we found with our partners that is successful in that area is they start off with relatively simple services to offer. So for example, with Eneco and Engie, we offer a product called the Waste Checker, which allows customers to get insight into their inefficient appliances. From there, you can the customer themselves can quite easily take the step of if they've identified that their washing machine is operating inefficiently, a customer knows how to get a new washing machine. We don't need to provide them with that service. But when it gets to the more complicated things, like perhaps installing a new heat pump in your home, the end customer really can benefit from that advice and that tailor-made service. Mm-hmm. And it's all about triggering the next best step at the right time. So you don't want to go just to a customer and recommend that they install a wind turbine in their back garden, when in their instance it might just be turning down some of their standby usage overnight is the step that they could take right now.
Yeah, the principle sounds quite clear, doesn't it? But the practice, I guess, and the mindset behind that is harder. Sorry, Gilles, were you about
to comment? I mean, to be able to volunteer this kind of advice, you need to have a pretty intimate knowledge of your customer. Likewise, and if you say, oh, you're going to advise to put a solar panel, you need to know whether they actually have the right to put a solar panel on their roof. So there's quite a few things you need to know. For me, the value of energy insight rests on three pillars. The first one is the accuracy or the confidence of the insight that you provide. There's also the timeliness and how actionable it is. And I remember getting actually some complaints from customers because we would tell them. We'd give them tips or insights about the usage of electricity, say at Christmas period, and it would come with the bill that they received in February. And I say, you know, what's in it for me? I've already wasted my energy. You should have told me when I was wasting it. I would have stopped. Okay. And there's another aspect as well is, and I think that's the weak point of energy insight as we know them today. Is that it does rely on behavioural change from customers.
So there's a lot to get right then, Gilles, in that accuracy, that timeliness, and to make sure it's actionable. And if you get any one of those wrong, then you're going to quickly lose the trust and confidence of customers.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. And I think ultimately you need to understand what the customer wants to do with that, with the energy insight you want to deliver.
Yeah.
For me, it's typically to reduce the bill, so either short term or long term. And you, because of that, you're working on a very limited envelope. In the UK, the average electricity bill is going to be £700 per year. So, you know, what proportion of that are you going to be able to reveal, you know, to hand back to the customer, and how can you make a profit on it as well? So there's these things. If you really want to make these savings happen, you want to automate things, and using the same processes that you use to have the energy insights, but have something more automated that provides automation, and then the energy insights can be used to actually show you're working to your customer if you've sold them a proposition where you optimize energy, like in home energy management, for instance.
What we find is always important to remember is for the majority of electricity and gas customers, energy is quite a boring topic. It's low interest at best. Because we're working with it every day, it's very easy to get passionate about the energy transition. But for your average household, it's something that becomes very low priority in many cases, and a customer is often starting from a very passive point of view. So if you can take steps to activate them, and by offering sort of the right advice at the right time, as Jill was mentioning, that really makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's, as you say, it's quite easy for us to forget how most customers engage with energy or don't, and the value of being led by the customer use cases or the customer benefit and the customer value. Mm-hmm. Getting now to the time where we bring up the talking new energy crystal ball and gaze into the future. So I've got quite a clear question for all three of you. So research that David has led here at Delta EE, we've looked at 20 energy retailers across Europe with, I think, a cumulatively 95 million customers, and about 15 million of those customers are on energy or have downloaded Energy Insight apps today. We're using them, maybe not, but 15 million have had downloaded. So let's take that number proportion of roughly 15% of customers across 20 European energy retailers are using Energy Insights today. If we look forward in 5 years' time, where do each of you think that percentage will be in terms of customers using their energy retailers' Energy Insight apps? So a number or a range or a view and a sentence about why. Gilles, I'll put you on the spot first.
Yes, I'm happy for that. I think that you're not going to see a big movement, which doesn't sound very optimistic, but in fact, what's happening, and the energy retail is coming to a very exciting period where there you can see the prospect of new exciting propositions around home energy management, about mobility. And I think that people that are going to engage with these propositions will be much more engaged. And you'll probably come to a usage level of the apps of 30%, which is the plug figure for a healthy app. I come from a mobile telephony background, and 30% was the average. There are some applications that go much higher, but they're very few. And 30% is way much higher than 15%, as you say. No. So I think you will have pools of much higher engagement. And I think probably in case of mobility, it would be even up to 60% usage. Overall, you probably go, I say, you're going to be lucky if you're above 20%.
Okay. So a bit of growth, but much more engagement from those people who have an app.
You will have areas of strong growth, but you've got maybe in 15 years, it will be up to 30% because more people will be using these new propositions that really rely on energy insights.
Okay. Stephen, how about you?
I feel that if an energy insights app just remains as being an app to provide energy insights, that the 15 to 20% is what we would expect in a few years' time. I don't see the nature of the proposition changing enough. I mean, energy insights is just not appealing enough. You're thinking from the perspective of an end user, that they've got their phone, they've got maybe 50 apps on the phone. What is going to persuade them to click on the app and use the app? So why should that be fighting for screen space? Mm-hmm. I think as you move towards giving that end user the ability to take actions, to be able to either control smart devices within their home or to have some kind of monitoring service to that gives them a push alert when their solar panels need maintenance or when there's an issue with their refrigerator. I think then you can, you're slowly increasing the value of why would someone install that in the first place. I think you need to, you can move, I think, a little bit in the way towards making energy insights easy to break down, easy understandable. But there's a limit that if we just stay with energy insights on its own.
Yeah, okay. So less, yes, some opportunity for the insights themselves, but much more in what you do with that, how that can then be automated with connected devices.
I think that insights is really just one component that needs to be locked together into the whole experience of being a utility customer.
And last but not least, David.
Reflecting some of your views as well, I think it comes down to three areas that have room for growth. So one is around the advancement of the smart meter rollouts across Europe. One is around to innovation in the market and how energy insights can develop further. And thirdly, around customer consent levels that can increase as well. And, you know, some brands already have, you know, high levels of usage. So I think it's possible. But I'd actually thought in my head 30% myself as well, reflecting Gilles. So to be a contrarian, I have to do something different. So I'll lower it to 25% between you.
Well, I'm optimistic. I think this is the start of a journey. And I think you've all described that journey in a similar way, from pure insights to more engagement, more automation. Home energy management, integration with e-mobility. So we'll leave it there. Thanks to all of you for your time. Thanks particularly Gilles and Stephen for sharing your views. And as always, thank you to the listeners for joining this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and look forward to welcoming you back next week. Thanks very much and goodbye.
If you're as passionate about the energy transition as we are, then please keep in touch. You can follow us and me on Twitter, LinkedIn, or subscribe to the podcasts on your chosen podcast platform. If you like the podcast and like sharing, then please do rate us. And to listen to archived episodes, to read transcripts, and to see the latest Delta EE insights, then please visit www.delta-ee.com.